At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 113 of the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. It is time for our end of the season campfire episode. If you guys have been listening to the podcast for a couple years, you know we get together at the end of the season. We just kind of sit around and talk with the guys that have been on throughout the season, or that in this case with Fall Pursuit now that hunted with us. And we just kind of do a campfire episode like you would at hunting camp, sitting around a fire, talking, telling stories, talking about the season, all that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, Dad and Dusty were going to be able to make it, and they had stuff come up last minute. Weren't able to get in, but Jeff, Nate, and Blake all were in here with myself to talk about that kind of stuff. So it was a fun episode. I think you guys are going to enjoy listening in. Before we get into it, though, don't forget about our partners for the podcast, one of those being Rodney Hawkins. If you guys are looking for your own piece of ground to manage and hunt, Rodney's a guy to talk to. Even if you've got a piece of ground that you want to get listed, maybe upgrade, maybe you're downsizing, whatever it is, he's still going to be the guy for you. He grew up hunting and fishing in Southern Illinois, and now he's putting that love for the outdoors into selling recreational properties as a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Land. And Midwest Farm and Land isn't your average real estate company. They do residential properties as well, but their main focus is recreational properties. And Rodney actually sold over $7 million worth of properties for them last year. They've got agents like Rodney all over Illinois, so they're really a local company with a national reach. For more info on them, anything that might be available or getting your property listed, you can contact Rodney at 618-925-3153, and he'll get you taken care of. He's also got his own company called RG Outdoors. He's currently got products from Radix Hunting. I know he's got their stands in now. He's got their blinds, of course, hard-sided and soft-sided. He has Tacticam trail cameras. I believe he'll have Radix cameras as well now. And he's got an all-natural scent elimination product called Camo Dust. If you guys haven't heard about it, you can talk to him about that. He's adding new stuff all the time as well. I know he's looking to get a couple things in. So if you want to keep up with that, if you have any interest in what he already has, you can send him a message through his Facebook page, RG Outdoors. You can email him at rgoutdoors@yahoo.com. Or again, just call him directly at 618-925-3153. Make sure you tell him that we sent you over there. Our other partner is Grandpa Ray Outdoors. They specialize in providing the best nutrition for whitetail deer on your property, starting with the soil. They've got a full line of high-quality food plot seed and plant foods with over 14 different blends to choose from. You're not going to have any trouble finding what you're looking for. They've got fall and spring blends, corn and beans, switchgrass, liquid fertilizer, soil test kits. You name it, when it comes to food plotting, they've got it. While they were started in 2015, John, who runs the place, has been in the seed and nutrition business since 1991, so he's got tons of experience. He knows what he's talking about. And that's one of the things I like best about Grandpa Ray Outdoors is not only the quality of the seed blends that they're putting out there, but also their knowledge and ability to answer questions and willingness to do so. So if you call up there and you have a question about something, they're going to answer that, and they're going to tell you what would work best for your specific property, your specific soil type, and wherever you're located geographically. So they're not going to tell you the same thing they would everybody else. If you're in a totally different part of the country, you have different soil, different shade, all that kind of stuff they're going to take into consideration. They're going to know what to recommend for your specific situation. If you want to check them out, go to GrandpaRayOutdoors.com and use the discount code RHOPODCAST. That's all lowercase, no space, and you get 5% off your order there. We're also a dealer for them, so if you want to save some money on shipping, just stop by the shop or send us a message through our website or Facebook page, and I'll get you hooked up with some of that. Our social media is Ridge Hunter Outdoors on Facebook and Instagram. You can follow us there, see all that stuff. We do have a private Facebook group. It's Ridge Hunter Nation is now the name of that. We finally got it changed. So just look up Ridge Hunter Nation on Facebook. It'll ask you a couple questions. You answer those and you'll be in. We did a giveaway on there recently. We'll probably do some more in the future, but that's just a place you guys can use as a regular hunting group. You can also have some input on the podcast. Tell us who you want to have on, ask questions to the guests that we have, or any questions you want us to answer on the show, you can ask them in there. Our website is RidgeHunterOutdoors.com, where we have our apparel. We'll have some new stuff coming up soon, some Fall Pursuit stuff. We got some hats in the works as well, finally getting some of those back in. We also have our clover blend, which I'm going to have back in stock soon because it's getting close to frost seeding time, and our all-natural scents are on there as well. They will be out of stock soon, so if you want some of those, you better hurry up and grab them, and then they won't be back in stock until next season. That's part of the being fresh thing. So if you do want any of that stuff, use the discount code RHOPOD. That's all caps, no space. You get 10% off of everything in your cart on our website. The podcast is also on the website, too, so you can check it out there. If you're not listening on the website, though, if you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or anywhere else that lets you do so, make sure you follow us, subscribe, whatever it is. Leave us a review. Leave us a rating. That helps us out. Same thing on YouTube. If you guys like, comment on the videos, that helps us there, too. Subscribe to the channel, of course, and that's where you're going to find the Fall Pursuit Show. We had 10 episodes out this year. We're going to have more content coming up this spring and throughout the summer, throughout the off season. We'll maybe do some turkey hunts this spring, and then we'll have, of course, our traditional videos that we started with as far as food plotting stuff, property management, things like that. So that's all on our YouTube channel. It's Rich Hunter Outdoors. So with all that said, let's get into the end of the season campfire episode. It's number 113. This is the Rich Hunter Outdoors Podcast. All right, we got most of the team back in the studio tonight. We got Jeff back in for the first time, and well, he claims it's 50 episodes, which I think is a slight exaggeration.
I don't know. It's been a minute or two.
It's been a minute. Blake and Nate both back in here as well. Dad just had to leave for a fire, so we're going to have the whole crew on for the end of the season campfire episode, which I guess he's bringing the fire apart.
Whoa.
Yeah, he is.
And we're camping, so we just fried some fish up and kind of talking about the year, I suppose, but yeah, it's been a good one. You haven't been on in the longest, so I don't even remember. It wasn't the last one we would have talked about. Probably when you and Dad were still going.
It was back
in before October. Before you guys went.
It was back in October, I think.
Yeah, probably.
It's been a while.
Yeah. Did you get to hunt any in November?
Yeah, I did, actually. Mm-hmm. You want me to expand
you
on that?
You want to expound on that? Or?
It sounds like you're not going to.
That was an open-ended question. That was a good job asking the question.
Let's see. It was after the first shotgun season.
Oh, so it was later in November.
A friend of mine from Florida, the one that's got cancer.
Ooh, yeah.
She come up for Thanksgiving and stuff. And she wanted to tag along. And so I let her, and we went and got her apprentice hunting license.
Yep.
That way she could tag along, and, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff. And so we went out, and we was hunting every morning. We'd hunt, you know, till 8 o'clock of a morning, and then I'd have to dump her off and come up to the shop and work and stuff. But her grandparents was wanting a deer, and so I was hunting on their ground, and I shot them a young buck, and she got to experience that and mm-hmm. got to experience in the hunting part of it and stuff, mm-hmm. and she literally fell in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was more excited about going than I was, and because, you know, I was working from 8 till whatever time of a night.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but, we got to go, and I that was the highlight of my season, actually. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not going to complain about it one bit. Just, that was her first time ever deer hunting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's 40-some years old. I'm not going to give her exact birth date in case she's right. listening, but, you know, she's 40-some years old. She grew up around here. And then she moved off, and she'd never been deer hunting before in her life. And so this was the first time she'd ever got to go and experience being out in the woods,
mm-hmm.
being sitting in a deer stand and seeing what it was all about. And she was just to see it through her eyes, you know, see the excitement and the wonder and everything in her eyes. I mean, it lit something in me, mm-hmm. you know. I was more blessed by hunting with her than if I'd killed a 200-inch buck on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, I just loved it. So now she's like she's going to save her money. And she said, as soon as I get the money, I'm sending it to you and have you get me a crossbow just like yours, mm-hmm. you know. And mm-hmm. and she's going to save up for her hunt, or deer permits and everything. So she's already planning on coming down in October, and
yeah,
we're going to hunt. She says she's going to take off October till December. So
yeah.
Yeah, this old man ain't going to get no sleep from October till December, it sounds like. Right.
Unless you kill one in October.
Yeah, well, you know how that works out for me. It don't, so. Yeah.
Right.
But, no, I was really excited about that. That was.
Now, you say that, but you got the first kill on camera in October this year.
I did. But
on a doe.
On a doe, you know, and that was fun, exciting for me. Mm-hmm. Which I get excited about killing does because me and does have histories.
So, yeah, right.
You know, I'd rather kill a doe than a buck anytime.
Just out of spite.
Just because.
That's one less that's going to blow at me.
That's right.
So You'll never have a chance to blow again.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so, you know, I got a doe this October and stuff, and you was there with me, and mm-hmm. we had a good hunt, actually. It was a really good hunt.
Yeah.
And
hell of a walk in there.
Yes, it was.
It was a trek.
It was a trek.
You public land guys think you got it rough.
That's right.
Try hunting permission ground where you can't get back to the spot you want to be at with two climbers.
Well, we got there.
It we just did.
Took us, you know,
it was easier going out than it was coming in.
Little over half mile back in there, but mm-hmm. you know, you got to do what you got to do. Mm-hmm.
And we got the first kill on camera.
Got the first
fall
kill
pursuit.
On camera. And then the funny thing is, after that, after we got that, we was told we couldn't cross that ground anymore.
Yeah.
Or I was told we couldn't cross that ground anymore.
Man.
Yeah, because I had permission from the guy that was farming the ground to go across there. Boy, evidently the landowner's son-in-law decided he was going to hunt, and he had cameras up, and none of us knew this. Well, he got our pictures of us walking in with our climbers and mm-hmm. bows and whatnot. And so he called his mother-in-law, Raising Cain. So she called the guy farming her ground, which I work for him some, you know, part-time, help him out with hay and stuff. And she asked him about it. And he said, well, yeah. He said, I told Jeff he could hunt back there. He said, you know Jeff? And she goes, yeah. Well, that's okay. But just tell him not to go back there anymore.
Hmm.
And it's like, all right.
Pulled the rug out from under you.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, no big deal. And, you know, I'm not going to argue with the landowner, whatnot. And, you know, what are you going to do?
Right.
Well, then, lo and behold, when I killed that doe and was dragging her out, it was right behind another landowner's house where we come out at. Mm-hmm. And they met us out there in the field. Hey, what are you guys doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they seen our lights bouncing around. And we told them, and they was like, well, you can hunt back here anytime. Matter of fact, you can park at our house.
Yeah.
So now the over half mile walk turned into a 100-yard walk.
Right.
Hey.
So
that is worked much out. More.
Literally, didn't it, Canyon?
Mm-hmm. That is much more my speed.
Absolutely. So yeah. It all worked out.
And I told you the reason he was all worked up because he must have had a nice deer on camera back there that he was hunting. And come to find out, there was a pretty nice deer in there that I guess everybody was hunting.
Yeah.
During gun season.
I had him 5 yards behind my tree.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And
what happened?
Well, he was directly.
This is where if Dad was here, he'd say, and he froze up.
No. Yeah, that's what he'd say. He was directly behind my tree, and I could not twist around to my left to get a shot at him.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever he come out to where I could get a shot at him, all I could see was his butt.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not going Chucky Barnett heart shoot one. So I watched him go directly away from me, and what had happened was that there was another buck across the creek chasing a doe, and he was very loud about it, but he's very vocal about it. And you could hear brush crashing, and he was just out there, you know. I mean, he was getting her done, and he kept chasing her around in circles right there. And I thought, you know, he's going to pull some bucks in. So
yeah.
I was actually on ready, you mm-hmm. know, but I wasn't not expecting this deer to come directly downwind from me. And I'd had like 3,000 squirrels around me all day long, you know, so I was getting whiplash from every time I hear a leaf move. Mm-hmm. You know, I was looking and it'd be a squirrel. Well, lo and behold, this one time I didn't look, this buck, he's dandy. He'd probably go boon. I'm pretty sure he'd go boon.
Oh, man.
He come in, and I heard him coming, and I was like, another dadgum squirrel. And I got to listen. I was like, that's not a squirrel. And wherever I turned around to look, he was directly by me at 5 yards. If I'd been...
If you'd had a hand grenade.
If I had a grenade, I still would have missed. I'd blowed myself out the tree, most likely. But if I'd just been... Hadn't excused that as a squirrel, mm-hmm. and would have looked at him where I first heard him.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Coming from my right side, I probably could have got shot at him.
Man. Yeah.
But I watched him walk directly away from me, and he was headed towards where that chase was going on. And it wasn't 3 minutes later when I seen him come down the bottom of the creek, and all I could see was that big old rack bouncing mm-hmm. up and down. And there was no way, because, no, there was no way I was going to get shot at him. So, yeah, that was the low of my
watching of him my bounce season. Away.
Yeah, but you know it's all right. He's still alive.
Nobody got him. Wow.
So it's next year.
Look for him next year.
And you still got the spot.
I still got the spot.
There closer you go. Walking distance too. Even.
Yep, I've even secured it with a couple of rows of deer sausage. So
mm-hmm.
hey, there you go. The peace offering.
You gotta know how to. You know,
right.
Take care of them landowners.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Money ain't everything.
Yeah.
So
the property down south didn't end up being too fruitful this year, did it?
No. I seen some deer there early this year. And actually, the last time I went there for shotgun season, I had bucks chasing does in there. But they was hot lapping around trees and everything else, and I couldn't get one to stop to save my life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they was just getting after it. And that was probably the week before shotgun season.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is where you come with hunting next to public ground. After I got done hunting that day, I thought, I'm going to go get my camera and pull it out because I know gun season's coming. You know, it's going to be full of public hunters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I get my camera. I take it home. I go and pull the card out. Shove it in the TV, go to watch it. It is completely wiped clean. I mean, nothing. Even the videos that I'd had from the year before was gone.
Hmm.
And I'd seen some four-wheeler tracks mm-hmm. that come off the public ground up there by my camera where they turned around and stuff. So
they can ride on that?
They're not supposed to.
They're not supposed to steal cards either, Nate.
They didn't steal it. They just wiped it out.
Well, they stole your intel.
They was more honest than the person
I was gonna say
right behind my house, whoever that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's another incident I had of cameras this year. Okay, so I got some private ground right there by my house. I mean, within half mile of my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the only permission to hunt on it. Me and Scott are the only ones that are allowed to hunt on this ground. So I hunted it some, you know, before shotgun season. Like, okay, I'm the only one supposed to be back there. I had a camera set up. Thought, I'll just leave it back there, you know, during shotgun season and that, see what all's back there. So what was it, a week or so after shotgun season when I finally got to go hunting again, I went hunting back there. I went to pull my camera.
Yeah, because we were talking about how that camera had been back there for like 2 months or over 2 months and how we'd heard there's some decent deer running
yes.
around in there and hopefully had pictures of them.
Yeah, we was excited about it. I opened it up, shut it off, and when I went up there, the camera didn't come on. I'm like, batteries must be dead. So I opened it up, shut it off, and no, it's full of batteries, but it still didn't come on. And so I reached down to check the SD card. There is no SD card. The SD card was gone. Scott goes, well, did you have one in there? I said, I guarantee you I had one in there because when I set the camera up, it was dark. You know, when I set it up, and as I walked away, the camera come on and
mm-hmm.
took my video.
Right.
And that camera will not come on unless there's an SD card in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I know the SD card was in there when I left it, but it sure wasn't in there whenever I come to pull it back out.
One of the Indians slipped in there and got you.
They got something. So I hope whoever it is, and if they're listening to me, I hope they enjoyed the card they got out of Jay Fry's camera.
Back it's not on, like it wasn't marked.
Back on 4 Mile Creek.
Yeah.
In Kansas.
In Kansas.
Yeah. South Central.
Yeah.
So Pacific. Basically, what I'm hearing is you've been around a bunch of outlaws all season.
I have.
Man.
And so, but honestly, give them credit, the public ground hunters was more honest than the ones that was
well,
on
slightly.
Private. Well, they didn't steal anything. They just wiped it out.
Is that really? I mean, that's kind of theft, though.
I guess you could call it that.
I'd call it that if I caught him.
You know, it didn't cost
me. I'd probably call him a stealing son of a gun.
It didn't cost me $17 like the card that was taken from.
Yeah, it's true.
So, I mean, you know, there was no money value on that.
You can't put a value on a picture of a big buck, though. If you'd have shot that thing on camera,
I'm guessing
there's
down
no
there
telling
public.
The dollar amount easy that could now. Have brought.
We, the in camera part, you might as well.
I didn't say you and Nate would be involved.
I'm guessing on the public ground there wasn't as big a buck as there might have been.
Yeah, probably not.
I know what was back there.
But if we could have labeled it public land buck, then we'd get all kinds of views.
We could have.
Even if it was like 115 inches.
And if you would have killed him out of a saddle.
Oh, my gosh.
We'd be on TV.
You won't
right
get
now.
Me in a saddle. No, you won't even get me on a saddle on a horse.
This is great because last week we bashed on the Matthews guys. This week we're bashing on the saddle guys and the public land guys. It's great. Actually, and one guy that's both of those is our buddy Austin. And he I think he commented on the Facebook. He was like, hey, now, are you guys bad talking Matthews?
Well, Austin, I gave you something else.
Yeah. Shots like, all in good fun.
Yeah.
All in good fun. But yeah, I don't expect to see you in a saddle anytime soon.
No, you're lucky to see me in a climber anymore.
Yeah.
Did you do much on the ground this year?
I did some. That one.
What would have happened if you'd have been on the ground with the monster?
Oh, you told me about that. Where exactly where you would have been?
With the monster, I would.
He'd have been at least had a bolt flung at him.
Mm-hmm. No, he'd you'd be getting ready to mount him. Is what you'd be doing.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, he'd have been mounting him that evening.
You got that right.
Jeff's just shaking his head and smiling. Because
if I'd been hunting on the ground. There was a tree that had been naturally blown down, mm-hmm. but it still had all the leaves. So it wasn't a dead tree. It still had enough system to it mm-hmm. that it was able to leaf out. It was just blowed over, you know.
Natural hinge cut.
That's what I was going
to
say.
That's what I was trying to say. It mm-hmm. wasn't a hinge cut. It was a natural blowdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Still living.
And, man, it was perfect spot. Mm-hmm. And actually, me and her sat in that spot a week later. Mm-hmm. You know, if she'd come when she was supposed to.
So really what I'm hearing,
yeah,
it's her fault.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh.
We would have been sitting there.
Don't blame this nice lady for your misfortune.
but since she didn't come the week she was supposed to because, you know, she was sick.
They never come when they're supposed to.
No, well, most of us come too soon, so.
That usually costs you 18 years, though.
You know,
I was trying to be couth.
Hey, you set up the roadblock. I just went off the
road. Oh, where were we?
But anyways, if she had been there, we would have been sitting there. And this deer would have walked 10 yards in front of us and stopped. Where he stopped at was right smack dab in front of where we was going to sit at, mm-hmm. and actually where we sat at a week later.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he would have been.
You think he'd be your biggest?
Oh, by far.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, you talk about 20 inches probably.
Yeah.
Well, when you, Hightower was 160, wasn't he?
Hightower was 160 gross.
Yeah.
This deer was at least 20 inches more than that.
Ooh. He's the biggest
basically
one.
A Nate Burgess deer.
Easy.
No, he's still another 20 inches shy.
Well,
of an Nate Burgess deer.
Oh, right.
You know, you can't thinking? You can't climb to the top all at once.
Right.
Oh, you gotta step. Work your way up there.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Was he the biggest one you've ever had right around you?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the biggest one I have pictures of.
Yeah.
But he's the biggest one I've had live.
Yeah.
Right there. That
in
close.
Range.
Yeah. Within 5 yards, yes.
Within falling distance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, turn around and spit on it.
Or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good thing we don't have cameras yet.
All I could do is just throw it at him. I mean,
right.
But no.
You might have hit him.
Might have. So, yeah, he was a nice deer. It was a pretty intense moment.
Oh, I bet.
I wished I could have. Well, yeah, I wish one of you guys had been there to film.
I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that would have, even if we could have just gotten the video of him, it would have been cool to have.
Yeah,
that'd
been awesome.
Because we'd have been like, hey, Jeff, this is not a squirrel.
Exactly, because we'd have been facing the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it might be a squirrel, but it's really big. Yeah, we're going to shoot this one.
This is the biggest, most important squirrel of your life.
Yes. Yeah, but I mean.
If I was with Nate, I'd have said, this is a squirrel, but you're going to shoot right under it.
Aim low for
the
success.
The only thing that might have pushed your video that we just did for the fan favorite over the edge is if I would have had you missing that squirrel on camera too, and that if it would have been the same morning.
I got some hairs.
Yeah.
I got some hairs.
Just like the coyote, you skimmed some hair off, but that would have been the cherry on top of that morning.
Oh my.
Yeah.
That was something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I wish somebody had been with me that day.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I shot the deer or not, that would have.
Yeah, just to get it on video.
Yeah.
Did you have any pictures of him?
No. No,
I guarantee you the other guy did.
Oh, I know who's got pictures of him because he showed me to him on his phone up here at the shop a couple of weeks later.
You should have had him send
it
to you.
And I was like, yeah, I had that deer at 5 yards. And you didn't shoot him? I'm like,
no, he's too small. Need another here.
So, gave him a pass.
That's right. I'm like, it's not because I didn't want to.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I've had a good year this year. I mean, this really has been one of my best years.
Good.
We talked about that too.
Even though, you know, I didn't get a buck like some of you youngins did.
Don't look at me.
And all this stuff, you know.
Wasn't me.
All you masters. And,
yeah.
You know.
Uh-huh.
The old man still had fun out there. And
that's what I said. Even though I didn't kill anything, I got to hunt with everybody in this room. Me and Dad got to hunt a little bit. I got to hunt over with Dusty a few times, so it was.
Yep, you and I got to hunt together.
One of the best years I've had, especially without killing a deer. I mean, I killed a doe, but without killing a buck. I mean, it was.
Oh, I killed a doe or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I killed one there at the end.
I know.
I about said I didn't kill a deer because it took me so dang long to kill one.
I know it did.
I about forgot about her. Yep. But
she heard the squeak and she just froze up.
She did.
What is that?
Actually, a little peek behind the scenes here. So on the short that I did, I didn't edit that any at all. I mean, obviously I cut it up. But when I went to do the episode, the squeak was so loud in the camera that it peaked the volume on the track. So I had to cut that section out and bring the volume down as it's squeaking because it was so loud.
Was that on the rest?
Yeah.
That you was, okay.
I'd lost a felt piece to it like, a week earlier.
Yeah.
It's got another one on there now, but it was more than a week because I didn't have it on the buck either. So, yeah, it was, at least a couple, maybe 3 weeks before that.
You started drawing that bow, and I was like, my gosh, it's like the old prong rest.
The TM Hunters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like. But
I know he doesn't have one, but that is that sound.
Yeah. I didn't have to stop her.
No, probably not.
No, she heard that thing. She just, what in the world? The last thing she ever heard.
Yeah. What was funny was whenever she was hunting with me and I shot that buck, you know, he took off and she jumped out. And we was hunting on the ground. And if you've listened to me any at all on this show, you know I despise ground blinds. I will not hunt out of a ground blind. Whenever I hunt on the ground, I'm sitting in a chair and I'm up against a tree. And we'd set this up. I'd set it up the day before because we went down there and hunted. And we didn't have no luck. We was only there about an hour. And we got busted and stuff. And so, but I'd never been to that property before. And so after we got busted, I told her, I said, well, let's just get up and walk around and look this situation over a little bit better. You know, because I went in there in the dark, and I just tried to find a place. And next thing I know, the sun's coming up. It's shining in my face, and I'm lit up like a neon sign out there. And mm-hmm. every deer that come around, you know, they've seen us, you know, before they got within range.
Well, that and you weren't wearing the right camo.
I wasn't.
I probably not.
Okay. we'll go with that. So, anyways.
I saw a Facebook ad today. You weren't wearing the right camo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, I wasn't. And so, we got up and walked around that morning, and I was like, I think this will work, and I found a spot. So, I knocked down the weeds and stuff, and what it was where my back would be against the sun. You know, the sun would be at my back, and was up underneath a cedar tree. Not a big cedar tree, but a nice young cedar tree, you know, and so was underneath of it up against a big old oak tree too. So we had a good backdrop, and plus we had the sun at our back.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, this buck, we seen him coming from the south, and he followed the fence row around, and he was coming our way. And then he went into the woods, and I was like, oh, man, you know, and she's like, oh, we ain't gonna get a shot at him. I'm like, just hold on. We'll see what happens, because the neighbors was right there, and their dog started barking. Well, as soon as their dog started barking, carry on, he popped back up, and he come towards the east, towards us. And so there he is. He can't see us. You know, he's looking into the sun, and we're right there, and he gets within 10 yards. We're sitting on the ground, and no ground blind, just sitting in chairs underneath a cedar tree, up against an oak tree, and put it on him. Shish kebobbed his butt.
The opposite of the old Chucky Barnett.
That's right. Shot. You know, shot him right below, right under the neck, right between the shoulder blades. Mm-hmm. He ran about 30 yards, fell over. And next thing I know, she jumps up and she takes off getting ready to run across the field. I'm like, no, babe, stop. What? And I'm like, leave him alone. Let him lay. Just give him a minute, you know. And then, of course, she sees him kicking and stuff. Oh, let's run up there and put an arrow in him. He's suffering. I'm like, he's already dead.
Yeah, he just doesn't know it yet.
It's just body reflex. He doesn't know it yet. Yep. So I gave him a few minutes. And so we sat there for another 10 minutes and we could see him, you know, and mm-hmm. he was done. We went up there and got him and all. She was just tickled to death. Huh. But, yeah, it was funny. As soon as I shot, he took off, and I said, oh, yeah, because he mule-kicked and everything. Mm-hmm. Boy, she mule-kicked up out of that seat, and she was going to go get him. I don't know what she thought she was going to do if she got a hold of him.
CPR.
She was not going to let him get away. Yeah. And so it was a good time. That was the highlight of my season right there. So, yeah, you know, just I don't know, just seeing somebody, I don't care if they're young or old, you know, getting them started out there and their first time and seeing it through their eyes and they're all excited about going. And, I mean, she was calling me at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, you up, you ready to go? And I'm like, it don't get daylight till after 6, you know. Yeah. But, you know,
am I what? Yeah,
you know, but, you know, I mean, it's just, I really enjoyed it. That was the best deer season I've had in a long time.
And that's why you take people hunting, too, because not only, like, you can get something out of it, too, like you're saying. It's rewarding as the person that gets to take them mm-hmm. and get them out there and going. But, like, for them, if you can get them out there young, too, like, think about the 30 years of hunting that she could have done.
Yeah.
You know, and had enjoyment of. But that's not to say when they get to a certain age, it's too late either.
Right.
Get them started and going. Take somebody out in the woods.
Yes.
And then even people that don't understand why we do it, it doesn't take but one time.
Yeah, and she even said, I see now what the big attraction is.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I never understood it before until I went. And she said, now going with you, she said, I understand it. You know, and we've seen a lot of other deer besides that one, mm-hmm. you know, we sat in the double deer stand there behind the house on the ditch. And, you know, she got to see young bucks and chasing around. And she got to see a doe come out with three youngins. And, I mean, when I say youngins, they was really young for, I mean, one of them was going along behind the dope, trying to nurse on her. And this is, in, you know, around Thanksgiving and stuff. You know, and so she got to see a lot of stuff and experience it. And she was tickled to death, and I was tickled to death for her. So, and now that's just, you know, somebody else that's, you know, excited about taking on the sport and mm-hmm. and getting out and enjoying the outdoors and stuff. So. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like I got a new hunting partner.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And she's better looking than Scott, so I don't know. Scott may be in trouble.
Yeah. You think she might be a little better on the camera?
That's what I'm thinking. I don't know. We'll find out.
People tend to like that.
We'll find out next year.
Yeah. Here we go. So. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for next year. That's what we've been talking about, too, and, like, even just doing the last episode of Fall Pursuit, and that while I was editing it, I was like, man, it's over. I'm ready for next year. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Dusty earlier today. He's like, man, we're going to have to do some more hunting together next year. And he's telling me he's got some new bucks showing up feeding on, because he's got the food, you know, and all these sheds that he's found in the past years and going to find this year. I'm like, man, I'm ready to go shed hunting now and hopefully find something from this year that hopefully made it, you know, and get the process started for next year. I'm excited about it. This is probably as excited as I've been for a deer season in January as I can remember being. Mm-hmm. Just with what we came off of and building towards the next year. And I don't know if it was going to be that way, because we talked about this a lot, like the added pressure or whatever, or stress of trying to do a show. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, aside from just like if, and I kind of enjoy it, so it's not that big a deal, but aside from just having to get it out, okay, like this thing needs to come out on Tuesdays because that's when we said it was going to be out. I need to get it done and doing it. Aside from that part of it, like, I really didn't have much extra stress or pressure that I felt at all. Like, it was even more fun, I think, being able to record everything and share it with people and seeing their reactions and hearing from people, like, they enjoyed following along. And, like, even not killing deer, that makes it even more fun, is because it's like the people who watch it every week are, like, there with you, mm-hmm. you know. And that's what's cool about doing it, I think, semi-live, too. People get to follow your season. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many conversations I had with people this year about, like, the show, and, like, they knew what we've been seeing.
Yeah.
And, like, they could talk about, oh, hey, that deer you got on camera or whatever, you know. And it's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. That's different, which I hadn't experienced that aspect of it before.
I'd talk to some guys up here at the shop, you know, during shotgun season and stuff, and of course, they seen your sign up here, mm-hmm. and they was asking about and stuff. And I'd just tell them, I said, look, guys, this isn't pre-filmed from the year before, you know, and we're putting out the highlights. This is week-to-week real hunting. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to see more of us not seeing a thing mm-hmm. than you are of us killing something, mm-hmm. you know. And they's like, that's what we like to see. You know, it's not.
That's more relatable,
it's
I think.
It's more relatable, yeah. More realistic to them.
And, like, I get, even some of the hunting we do is probably not as relatable to some people, or maybe it's not their thing to watch. Like, I don't, you know, some of the stuff we do is probably not as big of a draw to somebody who's just hunting public ground and is the saddle hunter or whatever, but, like,
oh, yeah.
I think they can still understand where we're coming from, and like, you are seeing every week that more weeks than not, we're not killing deer.
Right.
Or we're not. And that's, what, six of us filming? Mm-hmm. And then Dusty's kids, too. So you mm-hmm. add those two on, which, you know, the two times they were on, obviously they were killing deer. That's why, you know, they.
Well, they had on game the farms.
Yeah.
The rest of us are real world, you know. Dusty's got his game farm going on, so he has the advantage on all of us.
Yeah. And that. But I think we do have a good, this is something that I told some guys we talked to at the ATA even. We have a good mix, I think, of mm-hmm. hunting styles. Like, you take a look at Dusty, he's hunting the most managed ground of all of us, and he's a testament to what you can do with good management, right? And, like, if you have him and his group of people that hunt, they have the same mindset and control over the ground where they can have a really good management program, which we all should try to do, even if you're hunting 10 acres, you know. And then you've got kind of the rest of us who all kind of fall somewhere in between there, permission ground, small private properties, even, you know, like your farm there around home. You're not necessarily a small private or permission property, but you're also not hunting 500 acres of managed ground either. You know, it's all in between. And then you're hunting with a crossbow and we're hunting with the regular tackle and dad's hunting with a 2002 Bowtech Patriot. You know, it's like we've got, I feel like we have a pretty good mix. And then Dusty's a crossbow guy too. And he's got the kids on there, Dawson doing the youth hunt and Kelby with the gun. It's, I think it was a cool mix.
Yeah,
with people. I think people appreciate that too, probably, because there's something for everybody to kind of relate to. No matter whether you're that public land saddle guy, you can still appreciate somebody going and hunting, to walking in a half mile with their climbers and hunting a permission piece, or you're the guy that has 1,000 acres. You can appreciate what we're doing on the properties we own and manage too, I think. So it works out, I think, for everybody. And it also allows it for to putting it together, like something somebody else said. I think it was Rodney. We were talking to somebody at the show, and then he was talking about how, like, you can get some episodes that are, like, so long and it gets boring.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, when we're putting our episodes together, you'll have, like, okay, here's Nate's hunt from whatever day, and then, okay, here's Blake, and then here's Jeff. And it's, like, three totally different.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good mixture, I think.
Yep.
We need to get more cameras to go around.
Yeah, I agree.
You know. The cameras was in use whenever... You know, we was hunting and I killed that young buck. You know, that would have made good footage.
Right.
But, you know, the cameras was in use. I wasn't able to get a hold of one. So, you know, I mean, that's just part of it.
That's where I've talked to people, and this is another, I guess, peek behind the curtain is like, and when we're talking to potential guys to partner with, like, I think we're at a spot where when, once we get the partners and get people on board, it'll make it even that much better. You know what I mean? And that's even, like, to the people listening. Like, if you like what we're doing and you want to see more and better, like, go support our partners, because then that shows them that we're bringing them some value.
Mm-hmm.
And then that helps them because we can give more value to the people. So, like, we can get more cameras or different equipment that'll make it better and have even more content and stuff like that.
None of that stuff's cheap.
No, it's
no. Not. I'm just a poor old white boy. I can't go out and
worry about it.
Afford a $2,000 camera just to video deer. You know?
Right, right.
No.
That's where, like, again, partners come in and having good ones, and that's not to say we're getting paid a ton of money doing this. I promise we're not.
I ain't seen none of it.
No, I really haven't seen it. From the podcast and the show, like, anything that it makes goes back into it, because that's what I want to do. I want to make it better off the money that it's making. So, but I think as we move along, we can get more, bring more people on board, then it'll be even better.
Yeah.
And even somewhere down the road, too, like we're talking, we got six guys filming right now. You know, there's potential. Maybe we can bring some other guys on. We've talked about some different people who potentially we could hunt with, and guys that we respect and know, and that would be good, too. And that's going to be more equipment we got to have and stuff like that.
Right.
So, but all that stuff goes into making a better show, I think. And I think for the first year we did, I mean, I feel like we did an okay job, but I learned a lot of stuff, even putting it together, editing and filming and all that. And really, I mean, you filmed for Nate some back in the day. I did a little bit of filming myself. I don't know if you ever did any filming.
No,
probably never. Just slightly less than I did, which because mine, I didn't do much, right? And then you had the most experience out of anybody filming and putting shows together. So for that, I don't think Dusty's ever done a whole bunch of it. Like, I think he's filmed his kids and some stuff like that a little bit, but on this kind of scale. So very new to the game.
Yeah, the only filming I've ever done is with my cell cam, and you said on air that it was subpar at best. So, you know,
I mean, hey, if I'm not honest, I'm not anything.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying.
So, you ought to know that by now.
So I just like, well, I guess I won't film on my cell cam either. So
I'm not going to sugarcoat too much. Especially if I like you.
Exactly.
If I came around you fumble farting around and beating around the bush, you probably have to wonder. Like, man, he doesn't really care for me, does he? If I just tell you you suck, you're like, yeah, we're friends.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you're my cousin. You got to like me anyway.
Well, then maybe that's a problem. Well, anyway, we it was good to get to your favorite moments of the year, because we did the last year – last episode of the year, the first episode of the year, we talked about kind of ours from the past season. But we also got to do our the fan favorite moments from Paul Fall Pursuit.
That was a collusion.
Before Jeff gets on his soapbox, I want to say that, oh, yeah, you missed this earlier. We kind of got the rundown a little bit earlier. So he had this one on deck. He's just been waiting for this opportunity. But before he gets into that, I do appreciate everybody that voted, because we had, I mean, it was awesome, the interaction that we had with everybody and the engagement. We had all kinds of people voting. The Wood Clan showed
except
up in Grove.
Except for my friends and family.
We'll get there. But I thought it would be fun to put together a little, like, bracket tournament, and just of the moments. I didn't mean for it to be like Jeff against Dusty, although that's how some people have taken it, evidently. But I thought it would be fun for the people to get
Doe against a 12-point buck. I mean, you know.
Yeah, 12, 8, whatever.
Whatever. Nine. It had horns, and mine didn't.
Okay.
So, which one are you going to go with?
I mean I'll leave that one alone.
Collusion.
Yeah. So before we get into that, thanks everybody that voted. That was a lot of fun, even just to see what people thought and to see the engagement from it. I thought was cool, too, because I didn't know what to expect. Like, okay, we're going to have 5 people to vote on this, or we're going to get like 30, 35 people voting every time, which is I thought was pretty cool.
5 voted for me.
Yeah. So basically.
And I had to text them to get them to do it.
That's a poor run campaign is all I can tell you.
Sound like a Democrat. Okay? Yeah. How much money did you offer them? You got to offer them money. You got to know.
People,
you got to offer them money.
Was summer sausage.
Dead.
Summer sausage.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I did was, and I sent it to you guys or showed it to you guys up here, was I basically seeded everything out. And I was, because, and my thought process was, okay.
Here we go.
It was weighted on kind of what I thought.
He's going to validate himself for this.
What I thought was best, and then also like what I thought people would think was the best. So like Blake's reaction, I really liked it. I've heard people say that they really liked it, right? Like I've heard people that watched it. So I thought, okay, that's an easy number one seed. And then Kelby's was like one of my favorites from the year because she had like the buck fever, you know, and she's shaking and everything. And I thought that's an easy number two because, again, I've heard people, you know, say that. And then I kind of went down from there. And why your doe ended up getting put at number 7, which I thought was probably fitting.
Yeah, it wasn't that great.
But it was a cool, like, if you knew.
If people knew, I shot it in the head.
Exactly.
Boom.
Yeah. So, but yours got replaced by mine because, or, yeah. No, I'm
yours
sorry.
Mine got replaced
by yours because I was going to put the buck I shot in there because, like, the whole lead up in the moment was cool, but at the same time, I didn't kill it. So I thought, it's not really a, should be a fan favorite probably, you know, since we didn't find the deer. So I took it out, put your doe in. Anyway, that's how I came with that. The autofocus buck, I thought we needed a potential Cinderella, so I put it at number 8. And then Dusty's buck was the only one we killed with a bow on camera.
In focus.
In focus.
Barely.
So I thought that's a, and it was in the corner.
It was like in the very right-hand bottom corner.
But it was in the corner of the screen, so I thought, okay, that's a number 4 or a number 5, right? And then I thought, okay.
There she is.
Jeff's. It's Uncle Jeff, so there's
Stan Potts.
So
tribute to Stan Potts, yeah, the great American deer hunter.
So some people like Jeff. You know, he has a niche.
Evidently only
a niche
5.
Following. And there she is, and it was our first kill on camera, and we got it. And I thought those two, both kills on camera, 4 and 5, like, you know, they fall in the middle. And when you bracket the tournament, 1 versus 8, 4 versus 5, and that's just how it fell. That was doe versus buck, never even crossed my mind, because it wasn't this guy versus this guy. It was just the moment.
And the
Jeff,
and the Wood family made a strong showing.
They did.
The whole freaking army come out.
And the other part of this,
I mean, I know every one of them. I'm friends with every one of them. But let me tell you something.
Might not be after this little rant.
Blood is thicker than water. And they proved it over this deal.
And I knew that of all the people that I put in this, Jeff would be the only one to whine about it if he didn't win.
I'm not whining. That's just it. Okay, let me tell you this.
Exactly.
Okay, the first thing that comes out when he posts it, he says in the comments, Jeff, it wouldn't let me tag you.
But I tagged you in that comment, which is the same
Okay,
thing.
So my friends and family had no idea what was going
on. They should have. You were tagged.
Nope. And so Jeff, it wouldn't let me tag you. And then he puts me up against Dusty's.
I can't help it that you're stuck up and you got your Facebook on private or something where I can't tag you on the Ridge Hunter page.
He's got Dusty's 20-point buck, you know, against my little...
Now he's 20 points. He's growing.
Against my
Dusty's
little...
Dusty's going to appreciate this.
Yeah.
It's like, I got a booner.
Against my little 90-pound doe, you know, so...
He could at least talked up the doe and made her exactly. like 150-pounder.
You know, so, you know, I would think that if a guy was going to be fair, it would be a doe against the doe, and then you work your way up to the doe against buck.
Yeah, so.
However, my thinking doesn't follow the logic of my little cousin over here, so.
Had I known there were going to be two doe kills in it from the start, maybe I would have put them together, but
oh,
I.
Oh, gee, you think?
Because I still would have been, in this day and age, there's not even doe.
Are you sure they were does?
And buck competitions, they all just kind of run together. And
see, oh, don't start that with me.
That's the other thing.
Did you ask your doe if she was a doe?
Exactly. I didn't know.
She acted like a doe and looked
you're
like
over here,
she was a doe.
Uh-huh.
Making assumptions.
You're over here assigning genders to these deer.
I absolutely am.
And acting like that's important.
It absolutely is.
So anyway, Jeff's got beat out in the first round. He's butthurt about it, if you guys couldn't tell. And I knew he'd be the only one to say anything about it, which is fine, because I expected
hey,
it.
Hey, you know. You get what you know.
Exactly.
So,
but I thought you were a solid number four. You were in that's top four seeding. That's pretty solid. I gave you a lot of credit.
I was number four.
Yeah.
I doubt that very much. How many
behind?
How many applicants was in there? Four?
Eight.
Eight.
Blake was number one. Kelby was number two. Number three would have been.
Who was number three?
Nate. Dawson.
Dawson, yeah.
Dawson was number three, because I thought youth hunt, it is a buck. Mm-hmm. As if that matters, Jeff.
A kill on film.
It was on camera. It was his first deer that he killed. Thought that's a solid three seed.
I was number four in the
seeding.
In the votes or the seeding?
The seeding. And then you landed
but I was
four.
Last in the votes.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Your doe up against Kelby was the last in the vote. That wasn't a fair matchup, but I had to do something better than my buck that we didn't find. And I liked that one, and your reaction was really good. Had I put the stink bug in there on your hat, maybe it would have made it even better. That's another behind the scenes that people don't know about.
If my cameraman had been in a saddle, he could have got a better view of me.
I looked like I was in a saddle while I was swinging around that tree. By the time you decided to shoot the thing, I was about as far as I could get.
I shot it the only opening I had.
Yeah, after it was standing there 15 yards just begging you.
I asked you
if you
was
like
ready.
This. Line her up, big fella. These acorns are good, but I'm ready.
I wanted to make sure you had good footage.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, so, yeah. Hey, I was hunting for the camera.
He had to make up for what me and Nate didn't get.
That's right.
Yeah. That was. We were off to such
a
good start.
I tried to set the example.
Your standards were set high,
and
we
you
just
guys
fell real quick.
You dropped the ball.
We had plummeted. Two kills on camera in the first week.
Yeah.
And then it went downhill from there. Did.
Fast.
I am disappointed.
Yeah, well.
Well, I didn't start off too great for us.
Well, yeah, not but that was camera. My fault. I should have sent the camera with you. That was my fault. Because I knew you had a good chance of killing that thing that day. And I was like,
when the wind was blowing 70 miles an hour?
No, that was the second one. We're talking about opening day. Yeah.
The one I cut my finger off.
Yeah.
Wounded hunter scent.
That would have been a good one.
Yep. But, oh well. We see we have room for improvement. We didn't set the bar too high in the first year.
No, it's pretty low, man.
Anyway.
But I had another thought. It still was good.
I thought so.
I mean,
yeah,
really.
The fans that stayed and watched are true fans. We should say it.
I thought
you guys are the real MVPs.
That's right. I had another thought on the fan vote, and I lost it after Jeff's rant.
Yeah, he sent us down a tangent. Here, he went down a tangent.
I know. Oh, well. It was cool to see the people
if
engaged.
You've been around me long enough, you know that's what I do. I get
it's pretty entertaining.
Yeah. Hopefully everybody that got to see it enjoyed voting on that, too. I thought it would be fun.
On Blake's opening day buck, the Snapchats were fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's showing his finger, and he's, I mean, it's cut bad. And he's got blood all in his beard from where he's been sucking on it, trying to get it to quit bleeding.
You bled way more than that deer did for the first 40 yards.
It stunk up in that tree, and it wasn't from sweat. It was from blood. Yeah. There's an iron smell like going
blood.
On up there.
Uh-huh. There's blood on your shirt.
My backpack.
He's filming down the tree, and there's drops of blood on the tree up there. And the whole time, he's just like, this deer's never going to come in. There's not a chance.
Those are the times it happens. Just like when we got up in the tree the morning I shot my buck, and we got up there, and we had the camera arm, we got it all set up, and then you pulled the camera out, and you said, oh, dude, do you have the quick attach for this? I was like, nope, we had the wrong one on it.
Really?
Yeah, you don't remember that?
Hey, that reminds me, I need mine back.
It's in his camera bag. He took it home.
I think it's in my truck right now.
Yep.
Okay.
But we had, it was either yours, I think it was yours, from your tree arm, because you freehanded that, but we had the arm. Really?
Yeah, you did. You can see it in the GoPro. Huh.
And that's what happens when I shoot and the camera jumps real big as he's running off, you were directly behind me, so after I shot, my elbow hit the camera.
Oh, really?
And it bumped it. You can hear it. It took me a minute. I had to watch the GoPro and see what happened, but you heading out? All right.
Just for a second. I'll be back.
Okay. Well, go ahead. We'll come back.
I just don't want to hear the squeaking. I don't want you yelling at me about the squeaking of the door.
That's fine. I'll just mark this. We'll just leave it. You guys don't care that are listening. Jeff's got to step out and go talk on the phone or, I don't know, puff his e-cigarette or something. Anyway, yeah, the jumping of the camera was my arm hitting. I saw it on the GoPro, and I don't remember hitting you at all in that moment.
I guess I don't even remember freehanding it, really.
Seriously? Well, yeah, you can see it in the GoPro. But, yeah, we got up in the tree, and I said, well, you know, this
Boy,
is why it's going to happen.
Boy, I hated
that. Yeah. But we had the conversation, though, because had you been on the arm, there's no way where he was at you would have been able to get that shot, I don't think.
Unlikely.
Same thing the morning we went. I could have got your buck on camera, but we would have had it on the wrong side of the tree, and I'd have had to do a lot of moving around with a lot of deer around.
What side did you have it on the tree when you zoomed with him?
I didn't. I took the shoulder rig that morning.
But when I hunted him in that tree, I had it on the north side, so it would have been perfect.
Yeah, I think I would have had it on the food plot side.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't a good spot for it to put on this food plot side.
Yeah, unless I saw the same thing. But in my mind, I would have wanted it over there because that's where I would have thought they were going to come. Mm-hmm. Which that one deer did, the goofy buck. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, you were freehanding that. But my point being, we forgot that, and that happened. That was the morning that it ended up happening.
Yep.
And I think, I'd have to look at the pictures, but the night you killed your buck and I had that one stop behind me at like 20 yards and never make it to me, I think that might have been the evening that I forgot the quick attach for my camera and had the string tied around it. You remember that Snapchat?
Mm-hmm.
It worked. That's always,
I don't
for
know
me,
if it's,
that is
I,
always.
I don't know if it's as bad as taking a tripod in a tree stand.
Well,
man.
That wasn't even workable. You couldn't even MacGyver that one.
No. I could at least MacGyver a tree arm in a blind.
See, that's a pretty good idea. That works. I would rather have a tree arm in a blind than a tripod most of the time.
I hunted with a guy that had homemade blinds. And he had, back then, we was all using them muddy arms, you know, and what'd they have? Probably 3/4 inch or maybe 1 inch post on those things that slid into that, the bracket, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a half inch rod.
You remember that big post, you know?
Yeah.
He had, I think, two by four screwed together to make it 4x4. And he had those all along his shooting windows in his blinds, and he had the right size hole drilled on the corners, and he just set the arm in whichever one he wanted. You know, he'd slide around in, and that seemed to work pretty good.
Yeah. The thing I don't like about the tripod in the blind is I can never get it to where I can see out of everything I want to see out of, which is, man, a blind and a camera is really a two-person job.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Unless you have it just set up where, like, you know it's going to be out of this window.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to have it so far over so you can see out of both of them, then your angles are never quite right, and it's tough.
Yeah.
But that's part of self-filming. That's why don't like cell filming as much.
Yep.
And it's more fun when somebody else gets to go with you.
Oh, yeah.
Most of the time.
Man, if I'd have had, if I'd have had my tree arm the morning I shot that 6x5 sitting there in gun season, you know, the footage I would have had, I mean, every deer in the country mm-hmm. was in there on us that morning. Well, like I said, there was 4 bucks, three and a half and older, you know, out there. And
yep.
I don't know, 15 does, 20 does. I think I saw 10 bucks total.
Right.
You know,
that was the best morning you had by far.
Oh, there
right?
was just, there was deer everywhere.
I mean, absolutely between that everywhere. One and the time you guys went out there to the cattle lot and you had that split buck, you guys saw a lot of deer that day, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Where he snuck through and you didn't get a shot at him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When we went over there.
You guys saw a bunch of deer that time, didn't you?
Yeah. We saw a bunch over there the dog day.
Not the same. Not the same number of bucks, probably.
Yeah. Oh, that wasn't the cattle lot.
Yeah. The dogs when they come running through. That was a. We had a couple of good sits over there.
Someone needs to go coyote hunting over there.
Yeah. Oh, boy, them dogs they screwed the pooch that morning. Those dogs did.
Uh huh.
But yeah, boy, there was a bunch of deer over there too.
Yeah, I don't know if the zoom on those cannons would have been good enough to get your first shot.
He was,
but you could have been. You might have been able to see that there was a deer out there somewhere.
He was standing in the middle of that field. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You dang gun hunters.
Yep. I mean, I sat there and looked at him forever, and I thought, you know what?
You came here to shoot him.
I came here to shoot.
Didn't even take his long range gun. That's what drives me.
I know.
At this point, I don't even know why I didn't, you know. I mean, I don't know. I really like that 220.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have no idea why I didn't take that 350.
Oh, hey, that reminds me, too, because I have failed to mention this on the past couple. The Big Buck Contest.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats to Tommy Lewis, because he won first place.
Tomcat won.
Yep. And then Chris Herman came mm-hmm. in second place. So congrats mm-hmm. to those guys. And to everybody else that killed deer, and thanks for entering. I'll get the T-shirts sent out soon. They are finally printed, so I'll get those sent out soon. But, yeah, he won. He won the 350 Legend up there. It's up there at Mills. He said he went and did the paperwork. I don't know if he's got it yet. But anyway, mm-hmm. first prize, he won that. That's what reminded me of it. And then Chris is getting his deer mounted for free.
Mm-hmm.
So congrats to those guys. Not as big a deer this year as normal. Which I can't remember if we talked about that yet.
Because Nate didn't enter.
Well, basically, yeah. The last year, the winner was like 160, right at it, right close to it. And the second place was 150s. And then the year before, the winner was 178. That was the year you won.
Mm-hmm.
And then this was before you were like full-time ridge hunter.
Yeah, yeah. When you're full-time, you don't qualify.
No, that would look kind of bad.
Yeah.
Yes. So that year, yours was 178.
That'd have probably been a fan unfavorite.
Yes. And then second place that year was 172.
Yeah.
And I think third place might have been high 40s.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, winner was 147 and some change. So,
mm-hmm.
But I, man, the more people that come into the shop that I talk to or hear talking, picking up deer, and the more people I talk to about it, is this year was just not as good a year for the big deer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And really,
you didn't have a big doe contest, too.
A big doe contest?
Yeah.
Good. That would be a lot harder to...
That might get Nate to shoot a doe.
Nothing's going to do that, let's be honest. That would be a lot harder to manage as far as, like, if somebody shoots a buck and it's 125 inches, but they send in the score that's 150, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm going to measure that one. If they send in a doe and it's 150 pounds, they say it's 150, but really it's 140 or 135, like... That's hard. I mean, we could do a nose measurement, I guess. Get you the longest snoot.
I'd win that one.
Yeah.
I got some
up
there.
You got some up there that are...
I mean, they got 18-inch snouts on. They look like anteaters. Yeah. They got to be 15 years old.
Yeah. Probably. If you'd shoot them, they wouldn't live that long.
They look like a mule standing out there in the woods.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, that reminded me of the 350 thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that 220 is a... Straight shooting gun.
Obviously.
Clearly it did okay.
It drops pretty good though, doesn't it?
There is a significant arc at certain distances.
Got the job done.
It sure did.
You got him.
Seriously, that second shot, when he was, he actually ran a little closer, and that second shot, I put it on him, you know, because I thought, I know exactly how far he is there, and I put it right where I wanted it, and boom, and it hit him so hard. I mean, just, I've never heard a bullet hit something like that, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, oh, it was awesome. Yeah. I replay that in my head a lot.
Yeah.
Hit him that second one, and he just pretty well got down, you know, and then pushed about 20 yards getting off that path there. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was a heck of a sound. I wish I had that on video.
Right.
I really do.
Maybe we can you're not going to be at Iowa now because you got a wedding or something like that. But,
yeah.
If we do end up taking a trailer, maybe we can take the Funky 8 so people can see him.
Mm-hmm.
Take him in there into the... When are you getting Hightower back, you know? What's your guys' turnaround?
Do you got a Hightower too?
High rise.
Sorry, name up. Because he has a Hightower. I'm sorry.
I have a Hightower.
Yeah.
It'd probably be April, turkey season.
This will be after. Yeah. All right. Well, maybe we could take the Funky 8 up there anyway. Mm-hmm. Then next year when you get to go, you can take the... What are we calling this one?
6x5.
The 6x5, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We don't have anything big enough to go compared to them.
No, nah. I sure don't. I'm not taking that rinky-dink thing out there.
These things all
busted up.
These things will look small in Iowa.
Your Funky 8 won't look small.
It'll fit in
Iowa. He'll be like middle of the road at 178. He won't look small.
Put me in the kids' class.
High rise would look like a 135-inch deer.
Yeah, which is depressing.
And he's like a... Man, when you pick his head up in that video, he looks really good.
Yeah.
His frame's monstrous.
He looks really good.
It's just, there's no tine length.
As you can tell by the name, he comes up off of his head.
Yeah, I can't remember what his measurements were. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a tine over 8 inches. I mean, they're eights.
Not incredibly tall.
No.
Which was another story, seemed like, this year. A lot of guys, not a lot of tall tine deer, but mm-hmm. The buck that Dusty's uncle shot, 160s, I think, if you remember him showing pictures.
Yeah.
Of
yeah.
That mainframe 8.
Yeah. I think that's where we thought he'd be, right?
Yeah, just a giant 8-pointer. Yeah. I was hoping he'd be on to talk about that tonight, but he ended up getting sick. He was going to come in. I forget. I might have mentioned that earlier, but we're going to have the whole crew. But anybody else got anywhere else they want to go on this campfire episode before
you guys got any target bucks for next year?
We'll wrap it up.
I've got 3.
I ain't got any bucks left.
Shouldn't have.
I might have a 120.
I got some stuff working.
Yeah, you got some decent up and coming.
And I got a possible city thing working.
Uh-huh.
Two of them, actually. I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
That's all I'm ever going to say about that.
Uh-huh. We'll just leave it right there.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say about that.
I've got... Go ahead.
Me and a buddy might be going to Axis deer hunting next year.
Oh, yeah.
Right after second gun season. So I might bring you some film for that.
That'll be good. I'll send a camera for that.
And if we get me and the same buddy, we're applying for elk tags. So might see some elk hunting on Fall Pursuit.
Heck yeah, I'm all about that too. That's part of the reason it's named Fall Pursuit and not just something whitetail.
Yeah. You're going to see me gassed and about to pass out on a mountain more likely.
Yeah, well. So if you guys get drawn for that, you got to fly in.
Shh. Don't tell everyone our secret.
Nobody else. Wanted him.
Nobody else can do it.
Yeah, is that the same one?
It pays to have friends.
Mm-hmm.
The Indian.
He don't look incredibly old.
He's going to come through.
He's not.
Sorry, we totally interrupted your.
Oh no, you're good.
Elk hunting there. Yeah, you got a couple good ones. I got the tight rack 10-pointer, mm-hmm. which may end up being his name at the cabin. He made it through the gun seasons. I have a picture of a very large bodied deer that has no antlers that looks like it might, like he was in there around the same time frame, but I wonder if it was not
him that
dropped.
A very large bodied deer that has no antlers.
Yes. Like I think it might
be
a buck that's shed.
A doe that identifies as a buck? Or?
Could be.
Okay.
It wasn't the big doe. Like the neck on this one was bigger. It looked like it could have been a buck that had shed, and I wondered if it wasn't him. But anyway, he made it through gun season, so I got him at the cabin. I don't know what happened to the shed buck. Maybe we'll get lucky and find a shed of his again. So if he's still around, if he makes another, even a little jump, he'll be a giant deer. But other than that,
I mean,
up there at the North Farm, I got nothing.
I got that 6x5 yesterday you guys pictures of.
Mm-hmm.
And well, it's going to be a 6x6 if he grows that last point out. Then I got the 2 3-year-olds I got the video of in the food plot there behind my parents.
That one 9-pointer.
I hope he makes it. I know for a fact he made it. I did get pictures of him after second gun season.
Sweet.
And the 8-pointer.
They could be a stud.
Both of them could be.
The 8-pointer is a giant bodied deer.
Yeah, and he's only 3. Everyone's like, oh, that deer's mature. I got pictures to prove it. He was the fattest 2-year-old you'll ever see.
Yeah. I thought when I saw him on camera, he was older than that.
No, he was 3.
But yeah, he's...
It's crazy.
Yep.
That's
why having pictures is so important when it comes to aging deer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can be the best person ever at aging them on the hoof, but if you got pictures, it just trumps that, because some of them are different.
Mm-hmm. So I got some... In that big buck I was after early season,
mm-hmm.
he made it.
Yeah.
So I did get pictures of him finally again. He would disappear for like a month.
Yeah.
So he's a 160-inch deer.
Oh, I remember this one. Yeah, he's got...
That's the one.
And he's not incredibly old either, doesn't look like. Again, like we just got done talking about. He does have a little sway in his back, but his front end doesn't look real old. He's a cool buck, though.
Hammering.
Yeah.
So I've got that tight 10 at the cabin, the 6-pointer, the 7, I think he was probably 4 years old.
The 6-pointer, I think, was probably 3. There was another one that might be a 6 or 8 that I think was 4. I didn't have anything except the shed buck anywhere this year on camera consistently that I thought was over 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's some up at the North Farm early that if they show back up next year, they might be nice deer.
What's all that going to be next year? Corn?
Yeah, so that's my saving grace there. It'll be better even late season next year.
That funnel that you guys hunted and Nate shot his buck out of, I got pictures of a lot of nice deer through
that
there.
Nate shot his buck out of, and we only saw one deer when we went.
Yeah.
Yeah. Typical.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys have all the luck.
If I would have had another buck tag. Like
some guys have all the luck and not all the brains.
I like both.
I'd rather be lucky than good anytime.
That's right.
Yeah, somebody would have bought either, 2 buck tags when he was at Walmart the first time.
I normally do that, and I don't know why I didn't. Because if I would have had another buck tag in my pocket, I would not have left. I would not have wanted to
He'd
get out
still
of there
be right there.
We wouldn't have, I would have made him sit till noon.
Yeah.
Like it. That was a great morning. Mm-hmm. It really was. It, mm-hmm. was. It was perfect.
Well, when we got out, there was that.
Yeah, there was a nice deer out there in the field with a doe.
And I never seen it. You seen it. I never seen
it.
He
was a nice deer.
Which, what morning was that?
Ninth?
I think it was that. Yeah.
There was a ninth or the.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think so.
The ninth.
Right there in that window, 2 days of Veterans Day, one way or the other.
It was a big change in temperature and wind direction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was the first north wind after like 7 days of south.
Yeah, because it got really cold there the first couple few days.
It was a nice high pressure.
Back up.
It was mm-hmm. a nice high pressure morning. It was clear day.
That was like the first day where it was
mm-hmm.
getting better.
Actual November weather.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it had been very warm. Because when did you kill yours?
The 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't.
That was when it was still cold.
No, right? It was.
Or no, the wind was blowing like crazy. It wasn't hot, but it wasn't.
It was pretty warm.
60s.
Because
I remember
and
that
very
night.
Windy.
Yeah, it was 60s and wind.
I remember that night it being kind of chilly.
Really?
40s. Yeah, when we were standing out there looking at it, I was not warm.
Mm-hmm.
But highest in the 60s, it could have been in the 40s at night with the wind blowing. That's going to be kind of chilly.
Yeah, the morning I killed mine was like the first morning you're like feeling excited out there,
mm-hmm.
you know.
With the day that I shot mine, the day that you missed the 6x5, it was like
back
30s
hot.
In the morning and then 70 in the daytime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I actually might have said that on the video, but it was like I was bundled up that morning. We were bundled up the morning, both mornings, really.
What day did I miss him? Was it the day before first gun season 16th. Opened?
Okay. Yeah,
it was the 16th.
Yeah.
Because mine was the 15th.
Yeah.
And then yours was the 16th, day before.
Yeah, because I would have been 2 Thursdays in a row.
Yep.
If I'd have killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And yours was the day before.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the day I had the 180 was the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
See, right there, that little window. For where we're at, I think is generally,
mm-hmm.
and I shot both those deer last year, 13th, One was 13th, one was 17th or 12th and 17th, something like that.
Yeah. That was a rough, rough, rough week.
It sure was.
Like, heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You ain't a kid.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah, well, shoot, yeah, last year's and this year's, past year's. Because you had yours that could have had. Nate missed his. I shot that one, didn't find
which
it.
Which like I said, there's, you know, he's still alive. I'm pretty sure I know where he's going to be at next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I got him on my hit list. I've got some pretty decent bucks on my target buck list for this year.
Yeah.
You know, this coming up season.
You just tell me when I need to be there.
Well, you better have camera in hand is all I can tell you.
Nate the mercenary.
But no.
I tried to play mercenary with Dusty, and I couldn't even do that.
You know, I got that one, and then I showed you pictures of that double mm-hmm. main beam,
mm-hmm.
you know, and which I've always wanted to kill a drop tine, but a double main beam's at the top of my list.
That'd be cool,
that'd
too.
That'd be neat.
Now, you know, I know where there's one at,
mm-hmm.
and he's still alive, too, because, you know, we got pictures of him where that one side with the double main beams was broke off.
Mm, yeah. Mm.
And so we know he's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then I got another one there around the house. You know, he's a nice deer. He's going to be an excellent deer this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I got three right off the top of my head.
Yeah. The thing about there at the house is it's so tough. I mean, where you're talking, where you got the double set hung and then where your camera got, or your card got stolen are a little easier, but like they're right at the house. It's so tough to catch them.
You just got
to be right place, right
you
time.
You got to be right there when they're there.
Yeah.
And that's where the cell camera comes in handy.
Yeah.
I've only got one cell camera right now, and I've got right there at the house. And man, I can pretty well pattern that buck with that cell camera.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could this fall, you know. And so he was nice this fall. I would like to have shot him. I didn't have a setup like I was wanting, so I just stayed away from it and let him be. And I was hoping he'd hang out there during shotgun season, and he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was right there, and he stayed there, and he was just about there during the whole gun season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he kind of drifted in and out, and then I got a couple pictures of him there towards the end of bow season, so I know he's still alive and good,
mm-hmm.
and he was still looking healthy and everything, so... And he knows now, I'm pretty sure he's figured out that's a safe place for him to be.
Right.
So maybe.
Next October, surprise.
Yeah, it's not going to be.
Shazam. Yep. As Gomer Pyle would say, surprise, surprise, surprise. Yeah. So. But yeah, you know, I'm going to hang. Well, I've already ordered some Radix stands and stuff, so we're going to hang up some double ladder stands and get things ready for next year. I'm excited about next year, really. This is the first year I really actually got some goals for the upcoming season.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember even last year it was August, September, you're like, man, I don't even know if I'm excited about this season.
Yeah.
So, like, this is, yeah. Well, I think this past season done it for me too, which I'm mm-hmm. always excited about deer season, but just like.
Yeah, at January, I'm usually over deer for a while. But no, I'm already excited for, like you said, next year. I'm like, yep. Let's go.
Let's get ready. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I'll be honest, I could have hunted some here at the last of the season. And me and your dad was talking, and mm-hmm. was like, I don't care if I see another dead deer, right. you know, until October or not. Right. You know, You know, if I shoot a deer, it just means we're going to have to skin it, we're going to have to cut it up, we're going to have to mess with the stupid thing.
But you're really good at it.
I may be, but I really don't care if I shoot.
No,
see
we're mediocre. We've just done a bunch of them.
That's right.
We've done an average job on a lot of them.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just, don't take away the one thing I got. Okay.
Yeah.
But no, you know, it's just like, If you live that lifestyle like I have for me and Scott has for the last up 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, whatever, you know, when it gets to be the end of the season, you just don't care.
Normally, by the second week of December, I'm done.
Yeah.
But then, like, this year would have been, after I killed that doe especially, until Dusty invited me to come out and hunt. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I get to go hunt with him, which is, like, he was the last one of everybody on Fall Pursuit that I didn't get to hunt with, so that was cool. Mm-hmm. But, like, if it had not have been for him having me out, because he had some bucks that were mature deer that they hadn't killed, that not like giants, but like I'd have been tickled to death to shoot them, and he wanted them shot basically. Yeah. So I went out with him, but like most of the time by the second week of December, if I don't have anything going or nothing on camera, I'm like packing in.
Yeah. And
like this year would have been the same way, because I didn't have anything really.
I didn't either. All my deer herded up and they'd moved off away from where I was hunting at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know where they're at, but, you know, I can't hunt that property, so, you know.
Right.
There it is. So what's the point going to sit in an empty stand and knowing that you're not going to see anything?
Yeah.
But squirrels and maybe get a shot at a coyote. That's it.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. So, anyway. Yeah, I'm excited for next season for sure.
I am too.
Well, I thought this was good. You got to be, this is your first end of the season campfire episode.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be back for next year's.
You think they got the fire put out?
Surely by now. It's either burned itself out or they got it put out.
Mm-hmm.
Ours is out. We're done. We're calling it a day for this one.
Yep. I got to go to work in the morning. So
I appreciate everybody tuning in again for this episode. We'll get some guests lined up here soon. I'm going to work on a schedule before long, and we'll have some more people on. So looking forward to that. Appreciate you tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next one.